Good evening. Welcome to Celebrate Recovery. My name is Mark Havens, and I am blessed enough to be talking about hope tonight. Pastor Mike is fine. He's healthy. He just had another engagement, and to be honest, I don't remember what he's doing, but he's not here. But he will be back next week, and service will continue as normal. A couple other quick announcements is just encouraging people for the Easter services coming up. There will be the Saturday night and the two services Sunday morning, and I have heard through the grapevine that it is going to be an amazing, amazing service, so highly recommend that you come out and see that. Also want to let you know again, last week Pastor Mike was talking about a new movie starting on April 19th called The Home Run. It's a true story about a Major League Baseball player that had issues, as we all do, and actually God led him to a Celebrate Recovery program. And in the beginning he didn't take it very serious, but little things started happening here and there. He started connecting the dots, and so we are highly recommending to check that out. I myself want to mention that on April 26th and 27th, I will be leading a team from the church here. Anybody coming here tonight is welcome to come along too, up to a camp just north of Camp of Crivets called Camp Daniel. It's a camp for disabled people from ages 8 to 70, and it's an awesome place. They were given a piece of property, and everything that they have done, they're building a couple dorms and places to eat, and just there's an awesome fire pit that we're going to get to enjoy Friday night. So we'll go up there Friday, leave here late morning, and put in an afternoon's work Friday. They'll feed us dinner Friday night, fellowship, enjoy the campfire. Hopefully it's warmer by then. but we'll see. I'm sure it'll be fine. And then Saturday, put in a day's work and be back here Saturday evening later, like 8, 9 o'clock. So any questions about that, if you're interested, search me out afterwards. I can find the sign-up sheet in the back and get you signed up. Last time, if you were here, when I gave my the message, it was on being thankful. And if you remember, leading up to the message that I gave on Thursday night, I was having a pretty rough time. I ended up in the hospital with shingles and had insurance problems, and there was just one thing after another bombarding me, and I kept just saying, Satan, get behind me. I am anxious and going to give that message Thursday night, and I'm going to be thankful for everything you have done for me, God. And I come tonight with the exact opposite story. Life has just turned around, been amazing. I started a promotion at work on April 1st, which is just a blessing for me and my family. This whole Camp Daniel thing, I just get real excited about. I'm excited to be here giving you the message of hope tonight, and it's just a complete different circumstance. And then I was thinking about that and thinking about how I was going to say that tonight, and it dawned on me that we're talking about hope and where hope is tonight. Where is your hope? And it's grounding. I can't have my hope in the promotion. I can't have my hope in earthly things. Stay grounded. Keep your hope in God, and that's why all these things are happening. So let's open with the Serenity Prayer, and we'll go from there. Say it with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. I saw a video a couple weeks ago, and as soon as I saw it, I didn't know when I was going to want to share it here, but I knew I wanted to share it here. And so let's give me a couple minutes and enjoy this video.
I wasn't ready. I have no arms and no legs, but I'm very thankful that I have my little chicken drumstick here. People freak out when they see me for the first time. It's so cool. I was at a water slide all by myself. Everyone obviously at the bottom of the slide is looking up and waiting for other people to come down. And here I come and they're freaking out. They're like, you know, like this. And I was so tempted to look at myself and go, what happened? You know? And there were times where I sort of looked at my life and thinking, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And you keep on concentrating on the things that you wish you had or the things that you wish you didn't have. And you sort of forget what you do have. And there's no point, I believe, in my life where I wish I had arms, legs, I wish I had arms, legs, I wish I had arms, legs, because wishing won't help. But what I've seen in life are just a couple key principles. And the first thing that I've seen is to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful, man. I tell you, when I was 8 years old, I sort of summed up my life and thought, I'm never going to get married. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have a life of purpose. What kind of a husband am I going to be if I can't even hold my wife's hand? It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
I can't feel my hands.
I love life. You know, so many people come and say, how come you smile so much? And I'm like, well, it's a long story. But it's very simple at the same time. You see, it's very hard to smile sometimes in life. There are things that happen that you don't know and you don't understand and you don't know if you're going to get through it. You know, you go through your storms in life and you don't know how long this storm's going to be. And today I want to share with you some principles that I've learned in my life that you can use in yours. Being patient is beautiful. I tell you, it's the hardest thing. But I realize I may not have hands to hold my wife's hand, but when the time comes, I'll be able to hold her heart. I don't need hands to hold her heart.
You know, it is scary to know how many girls have eating disorders. It is scary to know how many people are just angry at life because of their situation at home and angry at others. It's scary to know how many people actually feel like they're worth nothing. Every single girl right here, right now, I want you to know that you are beautiful. You are gorgeous just the way you are. And you boys,
you're the man.
On this DVD, I share my experiences in life of how I've overcome challenges and seen a new, fresh perspective in life. To be thankful, to dream big, and to never give up. I speak to children, youth, and adults about key issues and principles that I've applied in my life that has given me the strength to conquer all that comes before me.
So who was thinking they had a bad day today? Who was thinking today wasn't that bad after all? You know, the first time I saw that video was at work. They got us together and showed us that video to try to build, you know, teamwork and morale and such. And nowhere in that video did Nick ever say where his hope was, not in that video. I have done a lot of research. After I saw that video, I knew right away that Nick was a believer in Christ, and he is. Let me tell you, that man has brought many to Christ. He speaks to hundreds of thousands of people and is an amazing, amazing Christian man that has his faith in the right spot and his hope in the right spot. See, Nick actually says in one of the videos that a lot of people will tell him just how hard is life, going through life, or how, you know, what kind of a just problems after problems without arms and legs. And the truth of the matter is there's a much bigger problem that too many people deal with, and that's not knowing God, not having their hope in the right spot. That's a real problem. And that's what we're here to talk about tonight, is hope. My hope was not always in the right spot. There was plenty of times where my hope was in things, money, and relationships and feelings, and it just doesn't do any good. So tonight, we talk about hope. And tonight, principle two is that we earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. In Matthew 5:4, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's kind of a hard concept when you just read that one verse. Happy are those who mourn. But we'll talk about that tonight and try to make sense of that. Step two is that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. It says in Hebrews, anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's true. That is the truth. As I've said, many years of my life, I just left my hope in the wrong things, wrong place, wrong person. And I knew of God. I grew up in a Christian family. I was baptized, born, raised Missouri Synod Lutheran. So I was well aware of who God was. And still, I just had all that head knowledge. As I spoke about, Pastor Mike has spoke about, all being head knowledge. Relying on things to solve my problems, my marriage issues, just wanting to give my kids everything. I figured out a way to have it so money wasn't an issue. It wasn't legal either, but it wasn't an issue. I can remember there was a period in our house where I would say it seriously, but joking, to my wife and kids that, you know, it seemed like every week in the house was Christmas. UPS was constantly bringing boxes to the house just of things. We needed things. We needed more things. When something cooler came out, we needed it. But it wasn't working. It wasn't working at all. Things were starting to get chaotic. Our hope wasn't in the right spot. So let's take a look at the acrostic of hope. H stands for the higher power. In Romans, everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power. And in 2 Corinthians, it says, our higher power will tell us, my grace is enough for you. For where there is weakness, my power is shown the more completely. That one higher power is Jesus. And what a gracious and loving God he is. It's kind of amazing to think about now that we live under his grace. I heard an interview on the radio a month or more ago. with one of the lead singers of a Christian band, and he was talking about his thoughts of when he goes to heaven, when he gets there, and the conversations that will be had. You know, you think about walking around and getting to talk to Moses, Noah, David, Adam and Eve, whoever it is, and asking them, what was it like to part the Red Sea? What was it like to, you know, build this ark and live on it forever? And he said something that just caught my attention that night. He's like, no. They're going to walk up to us and be like, what was it like to live with Christ in you? To have that grace. They lived under the law. We live under the grace. Thank God. And it's a free gift. All you got to do is accept it. Like I said earlier, I was raised to know God, and even though I knew God, things were getting out of control. Things were chaotic, and I was feeling guilty for everything going wrong in my life. I've mentioned the story about when we discovered my daughter had diabetes and the guilt of that. I actually remember telling my mom on the phone that day, because she was telling me, oh, Mark, if she can bring one person to Christ, won't it be worth it? I said, yeah, I guess so, Mom. Because, again, it was just head knowledge at this point. It wasn't in my heart. And I had said, you know, but it's the meanest thing I've seen him do. It's the most unfair thing I've seen him do, and I don't understand it. And since it's gone from head, since I've been born again, since I really accepted him, it does make sense. It does. You do get a different perspective. And it was only through many believers that made a difference in my life, in my wife's life, where they said the right things. I heard a testimony from the right guy, and I thought, there has to be more. These guys are on to something. And my wife was the first to really, truly accept Christ in her heart before me. And I saw a change in her, too, that really just, it was amazing. It was different, and it wasn't exactly what I wanted, but it was different, and I could see the hope. I could see the hope inside of her. And thank God that he had me in the right spot in the right time, and he is now my higher power. The O in hope is openness to change. Remember, this is a choice, and it's free if you choose it, but it is a choice. God doesn't want to make anyone choose him. He wants your heart. As I said in my testimony, God doesn't need us. God wants us. He wants your hearts, and you have to be open to that. In Ephesians 4:23, now your attitudes and thoughts must be constantly changing for the better. Yes, you must be a new and different person. And that doesn't mean boring or bad or no fun. It's just different. Things are definitely different for me, all in a good way. Because what are we have the choice. You can continue to choose to put your hope in your next paycheck, your next promotion, less annoying boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever. You can put your hope in the wrong place. But what's going to happen is it's most likely going to let you down. But when you put your hope in God, he's not going to let you down. It will not happen. Time to make a change. Another thing about change is the other night, my daughter now goes to 180. She comes usually every Wednesday night to 180. And last Wednesday, not yesterday, but last Wednesday, We were driving in the car, and Wednesdays can get crazy with volleyball schedule she has and work and all that. So we eat dinner super fast, and I'm driving her over to 180. I'm just asking how school went. Normal conversation. How's your day? What's going on? And I had gotten an email from the school earlier that they had done a drill where they all had to evacuate and go outside. And I said, how is that? Because the day before they had a lockdown. Somebody actually did get hurt, unfortunately. And I said, wow, 2 days in a row, you guys had some excitement at school, huh? And she's like, yeah, we had to go outside. We do stuff that we never used to do in school. And it's all because of what happened at that Connecticut school. And even my teacher was saying that we never used to have to do this kind of stuff. We're doing this. This is Kohler. We're not going to. This isn't necessary. And I said, well, it's not necessary, but sometimes it takes the unimaginable to happen, to get you to do things. And that's what we're supposed to do, is learn from our past. It'd be ludicrous just to let this happen and do nothing about it and then have something bad happen again. We need to learn from the past, and we need to make a choice to do different if we get in that situation again or when something happens, just to see what our reaction will be like. It will be different the closer you go to Christ, the closer you walk to Him. Even when we make the choice to accept that Christ is the way, that Christ is your Savior, He is the only way to heaven, even when we make that choice, trouble's still going to come. We're still going to fall. Satan, he's the master of deceiving. Like Pastor Mike talks about how you make progress and you get to this point, and then he'll hit you with new temptations and new problems, and it'll be stronger than the last time you were faced with the same thing. But it's the unknown, in my opinion. It's the unknown that is the scariest, and it's the doubts that will crush the faith. So don't let it keep happening and happening and happening. Make the choice to put your hope in Him. The P in hope is power to change. There's like I told you, there's a lot of videos and information about Nick online, and I've done a lot of research. He's a really cool guy, pretty amazing guy. But there's an interview I came across where he was talking to Bethany Hamilton. Now, some of you may know who that is. Some of you may not. But she is the story of Soul Surfer. There's a movie out called Soul Surfer. And Bethany Hamilton lived in Hawaii, family surfers, and grew up surfing. And she was just got accepted, just got sponsors from all the top brands in that, and she got her arm bit off by a shark. True story. And the movie goes on to talk about where her hope was, where her faith was, and the struggles that she had to recover, and she still went on to be an awesome surfer. And the amazing part of this to me was that the next slide is Philippians, and Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do all things through God, everything God asked me to with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and the power." And I had taken on this new interest of this Nick and came across this message, this video with Bethany. And Nick talks about in the message, in the video, about how he was born with no arms and legs, that he couldn't even imagine what it would be like for Bethany to have the arm and then lose it. For him, like he had said, he says in video, I don't remember if he said in that one, where if he lost what he calls his chicken drum stick, he would be devastated. And Bethany's true life verse is Philippians 4:13. And I thought, how awesome is this? It's the way God works. It's just how he reveals things that he wants us to see and know and about him. And he is awesome. And that's what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to tell our story, tell our witness. When you choose God, when you choose Christ to be your Savior, your testimony will develop. Your walk, you'll see. It's amazing. And there's many people in this room that could contest to that. And over, I've met people and seen people whose lives have just been turned around. And as my mom said, you know, if she changes just one life because of her diabetes, isn't it worth it? I promise that God will use you if you choose him. And aren't you curious to see whose lives you would change? The first time I gave my testimony was a long time ago. But I had a gentleman come up to me afterwards in tears. And he was so emotional, just saying, Mark, you've changed my life. Thank you. I can't even describe the feeling I have after hearing your story. And I had never met this gentleman ever in my life. And I didn't really even know how I changed his life. But God did. And it wasn't a coincidence that he was in that room, that he heard my story, and that he is now a firm believer and a follower of God. God speaks to us through other Christians. And he can use you to speak to somebody only you can connect with. Only you'll be able to share your story and have that connection. It's an awesome thing. Because I know nobody wants to be stuck. Nobody wants to just keep living in chaos. We have to have our hope in the right place, Jesus. Jesus is the right place. He will give us perspective, and he will be the light at the end of the tunnel. To persevere through the hard times and to learn how to handle it better or different. The next time we get dragged down, the next time we trip up, because we know it's going to happen. We know there's going to be another time. It's just the way Satan works. So the E in hope is to expect the change. We need to expect it. This is a journey. This isn't something that's going to just immediately fix and be better and perfect. It's a journey. It's a walk with him. And for all of us, it should always be an experience, a growing experience, trying to be more Christ-like, trying to understand him better. It's just a relationship. As Philippians says, I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. I am sure that you'll be surprised to see how you react in situations you've been in, similar ones before, in new situations. How better you'll react when you're in those situations. Because God wants, like I said, God wants a personal relationship. He wants you to choose him. He wants your heart. He doesn't just want to make us choose him. And when you start that and grow that relationship, you'll see how different the things are. How you want to raise your hands when you come to church or celebrate recovery during worship. We get singing some songs, and I just want to raise my hands, praising him and worshiping him. And on that note, just kind of a sidebar, something I heard once about that, it was actually when I was in Florida, the pastor of the church we were going to there explained it this way, that they had a new, not that new, a couple years old, the son was just starting to walk, and he, you know, how exciting it is when your kid just first starts walking and running around the house, and you realize how many things they can get into. But he had stairs to go upstairs where all the bedrooms were. And, you know, kids, when they first start walking, they get that confidence, and they get going, and then they don't want to hold your hand, and they just keep going. But he witnessed his son when he got to the bottom of the stairs, and he would start going upstairs. He would turn around and be like, come on, come on, let's go. And his son would, when, you know, scared, the unknown, didn't want to. He would stand there like this, asking for him to help. And that's exactly what we do when we worship, because we raise our hands to God, ask him for his help to get through the day. Sorry, that wasn't in my notes, but the love will grow. The relationship will grow. Just like the relationship with my wife. And I love my wife now more than ever. We have been through enough, so much. And we probably will continue to go through things. But that's okay, because we both now know where our hope is. And all you got to do is ask God for some faith, and he will give it to you. Faith will give you the hope. And both of them, again, it's a free gift. You can't accomplish anything until you take the first step. So I encourage you to take that first step. Whatever it is, whatever that next step is, whatever that first step is, whether it's your first step in a walk with Christ or whether it's your 1 millionth, don't underestimate the next step. Everyone closer to him is important and an amazing one. Let God be your hope. He won't let you down. And it's not too late. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, what you've been through. I've been there too. And when you think that there's just no way out, there is. There is a way out. But you have to let God be your hope. He won't let you down. And it's not too late. You have to face that mountain head on. Ask God to walk with you. Because you know what? Nobody trips over a mountain. It's the pebbles in the trail along the way that trip you up. And when I feel like I'm falling, I know who's by my side. Do you? Let Christ be the one to help you back on your feet. He won't let you down. So again, I just have to ask, where's your hope? We've all hoped or asked for miracles, for, like Nick was saying, you can wish for arms and legs. There was a point where I hoped and I wished for a cure for diabetes to go away. I know that Nick, through a video I saw, he has a pair of shoes in his closet because he's seen miracles. I've seen miracles. In a way, what God has done with my life, what he's gotten us through, I'm a miracle. Because God loves me, and I love God. But again, it's what we do with those circumstances, what we do when we get put in those situations, if we persevere through them, if we get through them, how we can use that to be our testimony, how we can make a connection with somebody that only we can make a connection with. My daughter has talked to so many people about diabetes. One of my great friends, 30 years old plus, that late in life discovered he had diabetes, and Remy was the one who talked to him, who explained carb ratios to insulin ratios, what to eat and what not to eat. And they connected. He understood her. God used her. Remember I was telling you that story about the guy that came up to me after my first testimony and just said, Mark, you changed my life? If you don't know my testimony, I was stealing from an employer for 4 years. During that time, God put the right people in my life, and I became born again. And I went to my employer, never being caught, and said, we need to talk. And to make a long story short, I did get sentenced to prison. It was while I was in prison, the first couple months in prison, and I had friends coming and visiting me and giving me hope, words of encouragement. But it was during that time that one of my friends came and told me about this gentleman. That his wife, right then and there while I was incarcerated, was starting a trial for the exact same thing. You don't think that's God that put him in that room when I was giving my testimony? Only God could make that happen. And God can use you right now. Right now, the way you are, right here. Don't wait. It's a lie, like Nick said. It's a lie to think you're not good enough. It's a lie. To think that you can't do this, that you can't get this done or get this accomplished. What I mean is, it's a lie to think now is not the time to accept Christ. It's a lie to think you have to get things in order or you have to just get caught up on bills before I start tithing or whatever it is that you think, whatever excuse Satan's putting in your head, the holding you back from trusting in him completely, it's a lie. It's all lies from Satan. Get another opinion. The Bible is the truth. The Bible is the way God wants to communicate with us. The same God, the one and only God, that raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, lives inside me, can live inside you. He will raise me from the dead, and he can do the same for you. So where do you find your peace? What's your faith in? There are thousands upon thousands of self-help books, some good, not some not so good. But there's only one book that's reliable. Truthful solutions to the issues that we go through, all of them. It's a best-selling book of all times, too, by the way. It's called the Bible. There is hope. There is, until you give up. The two greatest days in your life, the day you were born, and the day you know why. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what an awesome God you are. We thank you for what you have done and what you are going to do. We thank you for your love, your continuous graciousness, your hope. You're just such a loving God, and just ask that you give us the thoughts and the feelings to be the Christians you want us to be, to forgive us when we are not the Christians that you want us to be, to give us the hope. Whatever it is that we need, you know us individually. You know what we need. You know what we need to hear. Maybe somebody here tonight, it's not a coincidence. It's not a mistake why you're here. Let God be your hope. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.